have gotten an outline. And it's a great deal of danger when I put an outline like that in, because you either know that this has taken a long time, he's only on Roman numeral 1, or you think, all right, finally Roman numeral 3, about ready to wrap up. But if you know me, I can be surprising. I could spend more time on 3 than I do on 1. But at any rate, if you have that, you could take it out, and you might have a prayer to follow this message that I have. And we also use setting 5 in With One Voice in the summer. But I'm realizing as I'm going through, it's been a long time since August. We'll start up in June, and we use it in the summer months. So I am familiar with it. So far, so good. I think we're at the halfway point. I love that setting, and so it's fun to do it with you. Felt a little rusty from last summer. I want to pick up on the words that we heard Jesus say to the disciples, if you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness from anyone, it is withheld. Brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Will you pray with me? Lord God, Heavenly Father, by your Son's death and resurrection, we know that sin has been defeated, and that your church can proclaim forgiveness of sins in Christ's name. By your Spirit, enable us as repentant sinners to receive this forgiveness and life in his name, and may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. And everyone said, Amen. Amen. I was thinking of a famous French novel, famous in the 19th century. My wife had a little French, and when I tried to do French pronunciations, I mean, they do silly things and ignore letters and the like. So bear with this, but perhaps you're familiar with Victor Hugo's La Miserable. It looks to me like Les Miserables, but I think it's something like La Miserable. Anyone with French, how am I even close on that one? Are you familiar with that novel? There was a movie made on it. Some of you are familiar with it? Okay. Let me try to tell the story. Unfortunately, there's some French names, so bear with me on this one. But a French prisoner by the name of Jean Valjean, I don't know if that's close or not, is released from parole from prison after serving 19 years for stealing a loaf of bread and trying to escape multiple times. Pretty severe sentence, wouldn't you say? On the outside, Valjean's paroled status prevents him from getting work. He is offered shelter by the kindly bishop of, I'm going to say Ding, I'm going to go with that, with the bishop of Ding. But Valjean steals his silverware. Captured by police and taken to the bishop, Valjean is shocked when the bishop says that he gave him the silver, telling him to use it to do something worthwhile with his life. That was unexpected. Valjean breaks his parole and starts a whole new life because of that incredible mercy. And there's a lot more to the story. Sometimes we're not expecting and we're surprised by mercy. So we get into our gospel lesson, and can you imagine the shock of the 11 disciples that are gathered for fear of the Jews behind locked doors in the upper room? It's still the first Easter day, and it's later in the evening. There have been reports. The women that went to the tomb said that it was empty, and then there were already reports that he appeared to some of the disciples, to Mary Magdalene. But now, for the first time, behind locked doors, the resurrected Jesus suddenly appears there. The walls and the locked door were no obstacle for the resurrected Christ. That was shocking enough. What would he say? What relief it must have been when the familiar greeting, Shalom, peace be with you. Ah, this has got to be good. Why do I say, how would he greet them? Well, let's recall what had happened during the previous week on Maundy Thursday at the last meal, where Jesus had said to them, you will all fall away, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. And Peter, He's my favorite disciple. Are you supposed to have favorite disciples, favorite apostles? I just identify with him so much, he's always blurting out right away. I've got the big mouth. I like to say things. Peter, you know, he's always ready for action. It's ready, fire. Oh, yeah, aim. always gets that a little wrong. Peter blurts out and said emphatically, if I must die with you, I will not deny you. And the rest of them, they're a little behind Peter in this, but they all say the same. We're with you, Lord. We got your back. So what happens? The evening's not even out, and one of the 12 will betray him. And then things get a little heavy as the arrest takes place, and we read that they all left him and fled. Well, Peter, my man, he fled too, but he doesn't go too far, and he follows from some distance right into the courtyard of Caiaphas, hanging around just in case he's needed. And by the way, don't be too rough on Peter. In another gospel account, he did come out with a sword and knocked off the ear of the servant of the high priest, I believe it was. I don't think he was aiming for the ear. His aim must have been a little off. So there's some boldness, but by the time he's told to put the sword away and all who take the sword will perish by the sword, it really doesn't look good, and he too flees. But now he's in the courtyard at a distance. And just as Jesus predicted, for the third time he denies when people said, I think you were one of that band. I think you were one of the disciples. Your accents gives it away. And so we read, but he began to invoke a curse on himself and to swear, I don't know this man of whom you speak. And immediately the rooster crowed a second time, and Peter remembered how Jesus had said to him, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times. And he broke down and wept. That's where they left it on Thursday and going into early Friday. John must have made his way to the cross because Jesus entrusts his mother to his care, if John's the beloved, and that's who I think he is, and John to her care. They were to take care of one another. So it's a shock enough that he really is alive. How is he disposed toward them when they had all failed him so miserably? It had to be good news that he says, peace be with you. We're in a reconciled state. We're good friends. I come amiably to you as the risen Lord. Do you catch that sense of it? And when he had said this, he showed him his hands and his side. I find that interesting. They're trophy marks now, I think. We never get beyond, especially in this age, maybe for all eternity, pointing to Jesus, the crucified one. Once in a while you run into somebody, I think they mean well, but they say, yeah, you know, you come to the cross when you come to Christ, but then you got to get beyond it. We're resurrection people. Well, we're resurrection people, but the cross and the resurrection are just one part of a powerful event. The resurrection proves to us that Good Friday is the victory over sin, death, and the power of the evil one. And he presents himself with the nail scars. He's still to be seen as the one who's crucified. Maybe that's why Paul says, I don't know, I'm not as wise as some of the peoples and the philosophers around here and everything. I just know Christ and Christ crucified. We preach Christ crucified. This is after the resurrection. I find it interesting that he presents himself with the marks of the crucifixion. And they were glad when they saw the Lord. He's come and already had a word of reconciliation that all has to do with forgiveness. And he's shown himself to them. And he says to them, peace be with you. And then he says the words, as the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. The mission continues. I was sent, and I'm sending you apostles. And we're a part of that apostolic witness being sent into all the world. The apostles' testimony recorded in the New Testament, proclaimed in the preaching of the gospel, that sending of the apostles continues through the church that's built on the foundation of the apostles. We're a part of that. I love how the apostle Paul says in his letter to the Romans. But how are they to call on him in whom they've not believed? And how are they to believe in him whom they've never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. You ever notice my feet? Good thing they're covered up. But it's beautiful, those who are engaged in going to preach the good news. I think through word and deed, the whole church has this responsibility. The church in its wisdom calls people in a teaching office and to proclaim that publicly. We'll talk a little bit later. Don't get too worried. I don't mean a lot later, but a little later, about commensurate with the message is the lifestyle of this church. But they are sent. So Paul says just a couple verses later, and by the way, I hope you see that at the bottom of the outline, these are some of the scriptures that I'm sharing with you. Paul says, so faith comes from hearing and hearing through the word of Christ. Powerful stuff here. So he sends them out just as the Father sent him, and if they're going to be sent out, if they're going to be entrusted with his mission, and they... meaning then the foundation of the church, and we're a part of that, they're going to need some help. So he breathes on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. When you're breathed upon, I go back to Genesis, do you? When God scooped up the dirt, the clay of the earth, and formed and fashioned the man, and then he breathed into the man's nostril, and the man became a living being, a living soul. For this work of being sent out in Jesus' name, there's a fresh breath, breathing the life of God's Holy Spirit to equip us in the mission that Jesus began and has entrusted to his apostles and to his church. And then we read the words that I keyed on. If you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. Can these words be, are we reading them right? If you forgive, if you say your sins are forgiven, they are forgiven. But if you withhold forgiveness from anyone, it is withheld. Continuing the mission. Here we see again the unmistakable connection with Jesus' death and resurrection and the forgiveness of sins. We say on Good Friday, he conquered sin, death, and the power of the devil. I'm keying in, and they're all related to each other, by the way. The consequences of sin is death. So when you remove sin, you also remove death. When you remove sin, you reverse the whole work of the tempter, and he's been defeated too on Good Friday. Isn't that good news? Christ is risen, hallelujah. There you go. See, that was an unexpected time, and you still handled it. So here you see this connection that it would be entrusted to the apostles. And remember, we're a part of the apostles, the foundational church of the apostles. This delegation of speaking the word of forgiveness, the apostolic word. I speak the apostolic word to you. My faithfulness as a pastor is speaking faithfully. I know Jesus through the witness of the apostles. Do you know him any other way? That's what the New Testament is. That's the apostolic witness. And I'm a part of the church that's built on the foundation of the apostles. And the church continues to have people sent out. The apostle Paul will say to Timothy, and you see it there in his second letter to Timothy, you then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and what you've heard from me, one of the apostles, he was one that Jesus directly sent, but he was one as untimely born, because he was after that 40-day period that most people saw the risen Christ. Not too many people, I don't know if any, but the apostle Paul, it was some years later when he was on the road to Damascus. You remember that story? And he encounters the risen Christ. Paul will claim that he was directly sent from Christ, and their church believed that he was. So he joins the 12 and is a part of the witness. But Paul is saying to Timothy, to young Timothy, I'm not so young anymore, but I've always liked Timothy, the name given to me in a pastoral epistle and feeling called in. But I still think of myself, against eternity, I'm young. whether I look it or not. I do every once in a while look in a mirror, and I feel a lot younger than I look. So anyway, what you've heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. And the church will be able to speak the word of forgiveness. John did the same thing in his letter. Did you catch it at the beginning of the worship service? Probably every worship service when you gather. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then different words, as a called and ordained minister in the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. Christ authorized his apostles and the apostolic witness, the church's witness, to make that declaration. And it's as from Christ himself. Well, what about this business? If you withhold forgiveness, it is withheld. That's the faithful declaration that I just gave you from John. Christ gives forgiveness to repentant sinners. So if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. But where there is no repentance, where there is no confession of sins, then there is no forgiveness of sins. That's what that's all about. Entrusted to the church because he died and rose again. Isn't that exciting? Well, I'm in Roman numeral 3. I'm looking at the clock, and this won't be the longest. But I want you to notice one other thing. I mean, they're so tempting to want to deal with Thomas. I'm not going to do it much tonight. But I want you to see how important the church is, built on the foundation of the apostles with Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone. You with me? It's the first day of the week. Well, that's not surprising. That's when Jesus rose. And Thomas wasn't there. And that's when there's this pouring out and this commissioning and this declaration, the authorization to offer forgiveness of sins. It's 8 days later. So what day of the week is it? Still the first day because there's 7 intervening days. We're talking once again the first day of the week. I don't think that's a mistake. I mean, I guess it is just twice here, but you're going to see other times in Scripture that this is very special. It's 8 days later, but this time Thomas was gathered with the others. And he gets his apostolic place of being directly sent out, just like they were, directly from Jesus. We're kind of indirectly from the apostles of Jesus down through the ages, but these people are directly sent out. And Thomas is there. There's something about being gathered. God interacts with us privately when we pray and in our lives. But there's something very special coming together. And right from the beginning, the Lord's Day, the day of the resurrection, the first day of the week, which I've explained earlier, you hit it here on Saturday night. We'll go liturgically on it. But that doesn't matter as much, but there's a tradition for it. The point is getting together in the body of Christ. And do you notice he breathed on them? I don't deny that the Holy Spirit, you know, in our baptism, maybe at that very special point, the Holy Spirit is a personal gift. But I want you to see the emphasis here. He breathed on them, plural. And he said, you, and you don't know this unless you're in the King James, this is a plural you. I'd say this is a you all. Except my wife is from the South, and you all, you can be looking at one person and say, you all want to take the garbage out, and I mean right now. But up here, you all would be plural, right? I'm on dangerous ground. I've got the keys to the car, so I know I'm going to at least get back home with her. All right. So I just want to see, you know, this is an entrusting something to the group of people that are gathered together. And then I want to work in, you know, I've gotten all the lessons, but the very first one. You want to see the witness that the church has. And we want to be doing individually what we can, but the witness that the church had, and I read that, it's the last scripture I have here, Acts 4:32. In fact, as you can read it with me. Now the full number of those who believe were of one heart and soul, And no one said that any of the things that belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common. The whole implications of a forgiven community, forgiving one another and living with an extraordinary sharing and bond of love, and the witness that that had on other people. They were shocked when they saw the Lord. And his first words were, "Peace be with you." The faith is proclaimed verbally, and it is also given witness to by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit-inspired fruit of our lives, such as love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. But at the heart of it all is Christ's death for the forgiveness of sins, so that repentant sinners might be forgiven and receive life in his name. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. And everyone said, Amen. Amen.